This is Football Nation. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL. Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
What's up, everybody, and thanks for tuning in to Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio. Football Nation, all football, all the time. There's so much happening around the NFL. It's going to take a full show to get to it all. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright hanging out with you. Todd, here we are in Week 10. Playoff picture starting to get a little bit more clear in the NFC, but not so much in the AFC.
Yeah, and actually pretty interesting game tonight, at least from the Indianapolis Colts perspective. Can you believe these guys, who were 2-14 last year, Bill, as we head into Thursday night, 5-3, and kind of control their own destiny when it comes to that wild card. Unbelievable.
They have a wild card spot right now.
Yeah, you know, and they have the Jacksonville Jaguars tonight. You got to figure, and many of you that are listening to this show right now on iTunes probably obviously already know the result of this game, but you got to figure, Bill, the Colts lost to the Jags first time around, I believe. Hard to think that they're going to get swept by the Jags. So if they win tonight, they're 6-3.
Right. Yeah, nice. Not bad.
And, you know, they have some tough games down the line, and we'll get to that later in the show, but that's a big surprise. I mean, having the Colts, we all thought they'd be improved, but, man, Luck looks like a veteran. And they're making things pretty interesting from a wild card perspective. I'm telling you, Bill, we talked about this in the last show earlier in the week. Can't you just envision Peyton Manning and the Colts meeting up in the playoffs?
I would love to see that.
I think it's destiny. It's going to happen.
Destiny. I don't know if it's destiny.
It is. It's destiny. It's football. The football guys have spoken. Right, they want to see Peyton Manning go up against his Colts. And Andrew Luck, you know, go up against Peyton Manning. It's meant to be. It'll be a wild card game. Bank on it. I'm predicting it now. What's November 8th?
Yeah.
2 months away. Bank on it. It's going to happen.
Todd Stradamus coming after you.
Todd Stradamus.
Already. First 5 minutes of the show, Todd's making bold predictions. I love it.
We're coming out on fire, my friend. Banging. Two hours of predictions.
All right. We'll give you an updated playoff picture in just a bit. Plus, the Patriots obviously coming off a bye. They have an AFC East matchup this weekend against the Buffalo Bills. We'll dive into that game in just a bit. Plus, we'll spend some time previewing all of the matchups for Week 10, help you with your fantasy football teams. We will reveal our Football Nation power rankings, and Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com will join us later on to discuss some pretty interesting games. And by the way, we want to hear from you guys, the Pats fans. Give us a call, 508-298-0398, or you can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Give us your prediction on this week's game against the Bills. And also, we want to know what you think the toughest game on the Patriots' schedule. Who's their toughest game in the remaining schedule? Not many strong options. To me, it's really down to two teams, Houston Texans and the San Francisco 49ers, but we'll get to that a little later. But we do want to hear from the Patriot fans, 508-298-0398, or you can hit us up on Twitter, FBNation_Bill. You can hit Todd up at CFFGeek, and, of course, the official Football Nation account is at FBallNation. So, Todd, what do you say we jump into this Patriots-Bills preview? The last time these two teams met, Bills were leading in the first half, but then all of a sudden, Patriots offense really came alive.
They were leading in the second half.
Yeah, up until midway through the third quarter, right?
Yeah, it was 21-7 Bills. And, you know, the Bills at that point in time, you're kind of like, wow, what is going on here? Is there a shift in the AFC East? I mean, the Patriots at that point in time, like, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe they were 1-2. So they're 1-2. They're down 21-7 midway through the third quarter to the Bills, and from then on, Bill, it was a romp. 45-7. The Patriots turned it on, outscored the Bills for the remainder of the game, and the rest is history. Winning that one 52-28. It always seems like these two teams play high scoring games, which is great for fantasy football.
Right.
And you know, I see that happening again here. You've got the Patriots coming off of a bye. And I see them, you know, ready to rock and roll and kick off the second half of their season in grand style. I think they're going to blow them out this week, Bill.
You know, I saw a stat on NFL.com, I believe. The Patriots are 17-1 against the Bills in the last 18 games.
Wow, really?
Kevin, can you confirm that?
I believe that's correct, yes.
17.
Going back to like 2001 or something
right,
like that.
Right, right. So basically since, you know, right around the time the Brady-Belichick era began, they really have just been dominant against the Buffalo Bills. Well, and you think about the Bills in the last decade, changing quarterbacks, changing coaches, a lot of free agents didn't work out, a lot of draft picks didn't work out. But to see a team that is 17-1 against a divisional opponent, you don't see that very often.
No, you don't. Not in the division. I don't know, man. I don't think the Bills stand much of a chance in this one. I really don't. I think the Patriots are going to be fresh. They're ready to rock and roll. And you know that they're looking at the calendar. We talked about what's their toughest game. It's not this week. You know, heading out for the second half of the season. I just think they're setting themselves up for the run. You know, and this is step number one. And I think they'll get the job done. You know, we can go through the stats here, Bill. I mean, just look at the Patriots' offense. What are they, number one in points scored per game?
They are. Number one with how many points do they have a game? I think it's 27.
Yeah, they're number one in yards per game with 440. They're right. In the top five both in passing yards and rushing yards. So the offense is not a problem. Then you flip it, Bill. Look at the Bills' defense. They're just terrible. I mean, this is a terrible matchup for the Bills. Yeah. They can't stop the run. They can't stop the pass. The only silver lining is, I think, is Brandon Bolden still going to be injured for this one? Do we know an update on him?
I don't think he's going to play.
Okay, so that's the only silver lining is at least they won't see like a quadruple-headed monster coming out of the Patriots' backfield with all the running backs they suddenly have. It's going to be probably more of Ridley, more of the Ridley show this week from the running game perspective, and they ran all over him last time, Bill. I mean, I don't know how the Bills pull this one out. I'm trying to figure out a way. I mean, they're going to have to outscore them. They're going to have to score a boatload of points. And that's, you know, we've talked about the Patriots' pass defense and how woeful it has been. And they tried to update it with Aqib Talib. What's his status for this week, Bill?
Still out. Suspended.
Yeah, so he's not involved yet. You know, that's the lone, the weakness of the Patriots, obviously, is their pass D. See if the Bills can exploit that a little bit. But I don't think they're going to have enough firepower to keep up. Do we want to do our predictions now or later in the show? Because I just think this is going to be a blowout from the start.
Well, let me just throw out some stats at you. Patriots averaging 32 points per game. That's number one in the NFL, as you said before. The Buffalo Bills are averaging 22 points a game, so 10 points behind what the Patriots average. Now, the Bills' defense is giving up 31 points a game, which is right on the money with what the Patriots average. So the Bills' defense is 31st in the league with 31 points per game. They're allowing 31 points per game, and the Patriots are averaging 32 points a game. So do the math here. Patriots score 32, and the Bills are only averaging 21 points a game. It seems like it's a double-digit victory.
It sure does. I don't know. We've done these predictions all year long, and usually I'm more conservative than you and Kevin. You and Kevin usually call for the Patriot blowouts each and every week. And I'm kind of right. I think it'll be closer than you think. This week, yeah. I'm the other way around. I think this is going to be over at halftime. I really do. Sometimes I think the game's going to be close in the first half, and they'll pull away in the second. I just think this one's going to be kind of a snooze fest once you get to halftime. I think that, Tom Brady's going to have over 300 yards passing. I think Ridley's going to rush for over 100 yards. I think they're going to have their way with that Bills defense. And on the other side, you know, the Bills will score a few points here and there, but it just won't be enough. Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to be forcing a few turnovers, and the Patriots will be on their way.
I think Fitzy's going to have a big day.
You think Fitzy's going to have a big day?
Starting Fitzy over Cam Newton.
Well, fantasy-wise, I think he could be okay.
Yeah. No, he always throws for a huge chunk of yardage and always has two or three touchdowns against us, it seems.
In their last game in Week 4, Fitzpatrick had 350 yards and four touchdowns.
Yes, he did.
So and that's a quality game.
It's a very quality game.
Especially if you're thinking about your fantasy team.
And I think he could be in for a lot of garbage points this week. So fantasy-wise, if we're starting to analyze this from a fantasy perspective, right. I agree that Fitzpatrick's a sneaky play this week. But I think the game itself will be, you know, the outcome will be have been determined by the time he starts racking up a lot of those fantasy points.
Patriots' one weakness is their passing defense. Todd, you hit the nail on the head before. 28th in the NFL in passing. They're letting up 281 yards a game. The Bills are averaging 202 yards a game. So Fitzpatrick, back in Week 4, he had 350 yards. Meanwhile, the team is only averaging 202. So that was a big step up from what he typically gets.
Well, and you know, you've hit the nail on the head with the Bills and your preseason predictions. You said the Bills will start off hot, and they will cool down as the winter, you know, the winter weather starts settling in. And that's exactly what's happened here with Mr. Fitzpatrick. I mean, looking at his game, his game-by-game stats and how the offense has clicked, The first four games, Bill, Ryan Fitzpatrick, if you're into stats, he had 12 touchdown passes in his first four games. His last four games, only three. You know? So, you know, he hasn't done much. And three of those last four games, he pitched a shutout. He didn't have any touchdown passes. He had three touchdown passes against the Titans in that high-scoring game. That was it. So, you know, he has cooled down considerably. I mean, some of these games, he's passing for like 126 yards, 153 yards. You know, that's not getting it done, man.
I mean, when you think about the Bills, you kind of focus on their running game, C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson. Not so much their passing game anymore. C.J. Spiller's averaging like 6.5 yards a carry. Fred Jackson, very dynamic, versatile running back. But guess what? Patriots, they're sixth in the league in terms of their rushing defense.
Shows you how good the front seven is.
I'm sorry, seventh in the league.
How good the front seven is and how bad the secondary is.
Right.
It's unfair. People always harp on how bad the defense is, but I think you almost have to break it into two categories.
Right. It's
almost just not fair to lump that front seven and, you know, the good young talent you have in that front seven. It's not fair to say that they're, you know, the bottom of the bucket in terms of defense.
Because the Bills are one of the best in the league when it comes to rushing the ball. They're averaging 140 yards rushing yards per game. That's sixth best in the league. But the Patriots have a seventh best rushing defense. So who wins that battle? Is it going to be a wash?
Again, if the Patriots are up 20 points.
Exactly, Todd. That's exactly what I was just thinking.
It doesn't matter.
You can't run the ball.
Yeah, they can't run the ball.
You can't run when you're chasing three scores the whole game.
Yeah.
So it's important. If Buffalo hangs around and allows them to run, then I think they become a more dangerous team.
Hey, first time around, you know, we talked about the Buffalo put up 28 points. Did you look at the stats the first time around? C.J. Spiller, 33 rushing yards. Fred Jackson, 29 rushing yards. 62
right.
combined.
I think they only had, like, combined, like, 10 or 11 carries, too. They just didn't
21
get...
combined.
Oh, really? Then I'm way off, then. As
21
usual.
Combined for 62 yards.
Okay.
So it's 3 yards a carry combined for those two. And you got to think, this is probably the best one of the best 1-2 punches in the NFL, if not the best 1-2 punch running back tandem. Wouldn't you agree? Who am I missing out there?
I mean, you think about, all right, so they're sixth best in the league when it comes to rushing the ball. You think about all the top teams, they all are really just a one-man show. Arian Foster with the Texans, Ray Rice with the Ravens, Doug Martin with the Buccaneers.
I tell you what,
Adrian Peterson with the Vikings.
I tell you what impressed me, Bill, was that stable of backs that we watched for the Saints the other night. That was pretty impressive what they did.
Well, I mean, they were playing against the Eagles.
No, I agree, but I think I heard Drew Brees after the game in his post game hit with the national shows say that he thinks that stable is the best one in the NFL.
And that was without Darren Sproles, right?
Yeah, so I think that you could make an argument that they're just so deep at running back now, it makes it a fantasy nightmare because none of those guys get, you know, consistent touches.
Right.
But they have a lot of talent in their backfield when they're all healthy.
Yeah, they do. We'll get into the Saints a little bit later. Saints could be a team that is a little bit of a bubble burster here as we get down the stretch. We're taking on the Atlanta Falcons, still undefeated. We'll see if the Saints can give the Falcons their first loss of the season down in the Superdome in New Orleans.
Yeah, we sure will. So let's wrap up the Patriots here.
You
know, how do you see this playing out, guys? I mean, I'll give you my prediction last. You guys go first this week. How do you see this game playing out, and what's your final score prediction?
Kevin, you want to go first, or you want me to go first?
You can go first.
All right, my final score prediction is 42-24. I think my surprise player of the game is going to be Shane Vereen. We saw Brandon Bolden come out of nowhere back in week four for the Patriots. I think Shane Vereen has a big game this week for the Patriots. And my MVP of the game is going to be Tom Brady. I think that's the no-brainer.
Okay. I'm going to go 38-27.
Okay. Pretty close.
Which is right around what the number is. I think the number is 11.5 on this one, at least at the moment. I see the Patriots throwing the ball all over the place like they tend to do with Buffalo. I think Fitzpatrick in that passing attack will have some luck, but like Todd and I were talking about earlier, I just don't see them being able to establish the run enough to keep this really close. And I think that, you know, for that Buffalo team, a punt is almost like a turnover because I don't think the Patriots will be A, turning the ball over very much, or B, punting. So it's going to be a complete shootout, and I just don't think Buffalo has enough.
Okay. Todd, yeah, what do you got?
I'm right in between you guys. I say 41-17. You know, similar.
So a little more lopsided.
A little more lopsided. I just think that the Patriots are going to have their way scoring points. I think they're going to get a lot of them in the first half. They're not going to scare everyone like they did the first time around. And I think they'll cruise to victory, and the second half will be kind of a snoozer. And I, like you said, you know, the Bills are going to be forced to pass. And I think that the Patriots will look improved, get some pressure on Fitzpatrick, force him to do a few turnovers, and that'll be that.
Pats fans, where are you at? We want to hear from you. 508-298-0398. Give us your prediction for this week's game. And we also want to know who the toughest team is on the Patriots' remaining schedule. To us, it's really down to the Texans and the 49ers. But we want to hear from you guys. You can also email us at webradio@patriots.com. And coming up, Todd, we will go over the rest of the Week 10 games. We'll give you a preview, game-by-game preview for all the action that is coming up here in the NFL's
bad week. Slate of games, by the way. I'm gonna give you a little preview myself. Bad slate of games. Terrible slate this week.
I believe only one game features two teams with a winning record.
That's it. That's a great game. And if anybody's paying any attention, they all know what game that is, and we'll get to that.
But per usual, the only thing that matters to Mr. Enright is the amount of 4 o'clock games. So we'll have to go, you know, go very in depth into those ones.
There's only three.
Nothing gets Bill fired up then when we preview the small amount of 4 o'clock kickoffs, especially if Jermichael Finley's involved, Kevin. Then you get the double whammy.
I find myself having to pot him down considerably due to the raising of the voice.
Yes.
Well, you guys know my hot button topics.
That's it.
All right.
Two hot button topics.
Yeah, Jermichael Finley and the lack of 4 o'clock games. All right, anyway, Week 10 previews coming up next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G0 19 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock now. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance with over 100 ASC certified master technicians on staff. Utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment, plus easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. This approval solely for the purpose of evaluating compliance with Bridgestone's co-op policy. This approval does not in any way constitute, and Bridgestone expressly disclaims, any legal opinion or representation that the ad complies with any applicable laws, rules, or regulations.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center,
located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, welcome back. Football Nation, Patriots.com Radio. Bill Enright, Todd DeVries, producer Kevin Collins, all with you here on a Thursday as we're heading into Week 10. We're going to give you guys a preview of all the matchups around the NFL. Only one game this week features a team with both teams having a winning record.
Terrible slate of games. Boo.
That's a Sunday night primetime game, Todd. Between the Bears and the Texans. Let's start with that one.
Yeah, let's start with the only one, the jewel of this horrible slate. Seriously, Bill, Week 10, we're in the middle of November. Shouldn't these games all mean something? Very few to sink your teeth into. Thank goodness for the Sunday nighter. You got the Texans and the Bears. Bill, the Bears' defense, can they continue on this ridiculous streak of scoring all these defensive touchdowns every week? It's Tillman. It's Urlacher. Somebody's taking the ball, stripping it away, and taking it to the house. Can they keep it up?
I don't know if they're going to be able to keep up with that trend. I think the more important question is, can their offense start outscoring what their defense is doing?
Yeah, I mean, this is a great test. There's a lot of, you know, as we kind of take the landscape of the entire league, Bill, really, there are a lot of teams out there with outstanding records that have a lot of question marks about it. I mean, we've been slow to warm up to the Atlanta Falcons, even though they're 8-0. And I think in a similar vein, we're kind of slow to warm up to the Bears. I mean, are they really as good as their 7-1 record? So it's kind of good to see them actually have a game here against a legitimate, you know, elite team. I think it's safe to say that Houston's one of the elite teams in this league. 2-7-1 teams. I'm looking forward to it. What's your prediction for this one, mister?
I think the Texans win. I like their offense just a little bit better. I think the Texans' defense will give the Chicago Bears' offense a little bit more trouble. I think J.J. Watt gets to Jay Cutler a lot. I don't trust the Bears' offensive line at all. I think the Texans' offense has a little bit more playmakers than the Bears do. Other than Brandon Marshall and Matt Forte, I mean, who else is really getting the ball on that team?
Well, like you said, it doesn't matter because they score defensive touchdowns. That's how they get their points. That's how they generate their points. And every week we kind of go, this will be the week they don't score defensively. And they keep on doing it. Every time I watch the Red Zone, Bill, they cut to the Chicago game, and Scott Hansen says, let's see what happened in Chicago. And then you see the other team with the ball, and you know what's about to happen. Pick six. And sure enough, that's exactly what happens. I think Houston probably wins this game. It is in Chicago, which, you know, is an interesting twist to it. I think if this was in Houston, I think the Texans would win this one rather handily. I think this is actually going to live up to the hype. I think it's going to be an interesting game. I think Houston wins a low-scoring affair.
Both of these teams are 7-1 right now. Other than the Atlanta Falcons, who are 8-0, the Bears and the Texans have the best records in the NFL. I really hope this is not a preview of the Super Bowl, because if so, it'll be one of the most boring Super Bowls ever televised.
No one wants
to see defense in the Super Bowl. They want to see scoring. They want to see great quarterbacks. They want to see a 100-yard rusher in the running back. You're not going to get that if these two teams are in the Super Bowl. So it's a good game for Week 10, probably the only good matchup there is in Week 10, but this better not be the Super Bowl matchup.
There's a good chance Houston's going to get there. I mean, you know, Houston's the one team that's truly standing in the way of the New England Patriots. It would be a much more entertaining watch in that Super Bowl.
Of course.
We've seen them in there quite a bit. But, hey, for the Bears, Bill, you know, like we just said, they've kind of won some games, a lot of games they should have won. The one team that they beat, who really is a legitimate team, was the lost to was the Packers. So they, they, you know, they beat the Colts, they beat the Rams, beat the slumping Cowboys team, they beat the Jags, beat the Lions when the Lions were slumping, beat Carolina, beat Titans. They really haven't beaten anybody, really. So this week they get Houston at home. Next week they travel to San Francisco. I think we're going to learn an awful lot about the Chicago Bears in the next 2 weeks. And something tells me Jay Cutler will be in the news in the next 14 days, and it won't be a positive story, Bill. There's going to be a surly Jay Cutler after one of these two defenses pounds on him a little too much for his liking.
I agree with you. Let's move on to tonight's game, Thursday, if you're listening live. Otherwise, this game was already played out. The Indianapolis Colts and the Jacksonville Jaguars in an AFC South battle. Who do you think's taking this one, Todd? Do you think Andrew Luck stays hot? The Chuck Strong theme among the Colts locker room in support of their head coach, who is dealing with I think his cancer's in remission right now, but he's still going through a couple more rounds of chemo. The entire team shaved their head, a very classy move, showing a lot of support for their head coach. You think all that motivation continues into Thursday night with the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I do. This is a team that's won four out of their last five, Bill. I mean, they're clearly on a roll, and Andrew Luck is, you know, the best young quarterback in the game, and they get to play a team they should beat. You know, Jacksonville beat them 22-17 earlier in the season, and I can't see them getting swept by the Jags. Who in God's name on the Jags scares you at all? Anyone? There's no one.
Nobody.
Rashad Jennings?
Nope.
Justin Blackmon?
Nope.
Blaine Gabbert?
Hell no.
No. So, you know, the Colts are streaking. They've won three in a row, four out of five. I think they get this one done. And they move to 6-3, heading into New England next week.
Wow. Well,
they play the Patriots. If they win tonight, they'd get a nice extra couple of days to prepare for Tom Brady and company. And that would be, it's a 4:25 game on CBS. Talk about your 4 o'clock games, Bill. That would be a 4 o'clock game worth watching if you have a 6-3 Colts going to a 6-3 Patriots team. That would be an outstanding matchup. So I think, you know, the country's kind of rooting for the Colts right now. The post-game speech by Chuck Pagano was something that was very, you know, very heartfelt, very emotional, just an unbelievable moment. And, you know, I think everyone's kind of rooting for those underdog Colts right now.
Jaguars have just one win on the year. That one win did come over Indianapolis.
Yeah, well, it's not going to happen. The Colts are going to win. It might not be pretty, but they'll get it done.
Let's move on to the Sunday's game. New York Giants, tough loss last week, taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. I believe the Bengals are coming off a bye. Giants lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers last week despite having a fourth quarter lead. What do you make of this matchup? Giants heading to a bye in week 11. So do you think they go into the bye with a two-game losing streak, or do they rebound here against the Bengals?
I think they rebound. And to correct you, the Bengals did play last week. They lost to the Broncos 31-23.
Oh, correct. Right. My bad.
Yeah, in a game they were kind of in it for a while there. And that's how the Broncos have been playing ball lately. They kind of let teams hang around and finish them off at the end. This is a team that's lost four in a row, Bill, the Bengals. And that's a little bit surprising, you know. We kind of like the young core of skill position guys they have there with Andy Dalton at quarterback and A.J. Green. But right now, they're just not getting it done. They're giving up a lot of points. The Giants have been slumping the last couple of weeks. Eli Manning looks human again.
Yeah.
This is nothing that we haven't seen before with the Giants. They're still relatively healthy. And in past years when they struggled in the regular season, a lot of it was due to some injuries that they had. This year, they're pretty healthy. They're just kind of slumping a little bit. They're still in the driver's seat in the NFC East. And I think they get this game. I think they win this one against the Bengals. Can't see them losing to the Bengals.
How about the Tennessee Titans taking on the Miami Dolphins? Dolphins are in that playoff picture as well. If they didn't lose to the Colts, they would have been in that wild card spot instead of Indianapolis. What do you think of Ryan Tannehill? I believe Jake Locker is going to be under center now for the Tennessee Titans. What do you make of this matchup?
I don't make much out of this matchup.
Nah, me either.
I don't like these
Dolphins
two teams
4-4. Titans are 3-6.
Yeah. The Titans, I mean, come on. Jake Locker's back. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing for them, to be honest with you. And there's just not much juice in this game. I'm not a believer in the Dolphins. They have to be the worst 4-4 team in the league, wouldn't you think? Well, actually,
yeah,
I'm looking down. The Chargers are 4-4 as well. So, you know, 4-4 in this league, in this day and age, you don't have to be great to be 4-4. And
nope.
The Dolphins. I'll take the Dolphins there at home in a game that I will not be watching much of, to be honest with you.
All right, let's move on to the Atlanta Falcons taking on the New Orleans Saints. Now, we all know the Falcons are the only undefeated team in the NFL right now. They're sitting at 8-0. New Orleans Saints started off slow, but they won 3 of the last 4 games. The game is in New Orleans at the Superdome, very tough place to play. What do you make of this NFC South matchup? Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, a lot of firepower on offense in this one.
Yeah, okay. Here's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing the last couple days since the Saints beat the Eagles on Monday night, I'm hearing about this, hey, well, don't count the Saints out yet, guys. Don't count them out. Drew Brees. I don't believe any of it. Their defense stinks.
It's so bad.
The Eagles put up almost 500 yards of offense on them. They just couldn't capitalize in the red zone. Eagles notoriously pathetic just for scoring when they get in the red zone. They drove the ball all over the Saints. They just couldn't finish. And, I mean, the Saints are not very good. Don't get fooled by Drew Brees. Their defense is awful. You know, the Falcons are going to get tripped up here one of these weeks, Bill, and we keep talking negatively about the Falcons because we just don't believe in them come January. Everyone I'm hearing, all the pundits out there, they're calling for the upset here. Saints at home. Saints getting back in that wild card race. I'm having none of it. Falcons get the job done.
All right. I like to hear that you're down on the Falcons, down on the Saints, and you're starting to believe in the Falcons a little bit more.
You know, again, the Saints were in a primetime game. They beat a terrible, terrible Eagles team who's just reeling, and people are making too much out of it. It's not like they went and beat the Patriots or beat the Broncos. They beat a bad, bad team, and people are, you know, I just don't, the Saints are not back. They're not going to be in the playoff race. They're going to lose this game and be out of it.
All right, let's move on to the San Diego Chargers, one of your least favorite teams in the NFL. They're 4-4. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, one of the surprise teams right now in the NFL. Doug Martin, the rookie running back out of Boise State, had 4 touchdowns last week. 254 yards. He seems like he's unstoppable in San Diego. They've been struggling a lot on defense.
Yeah, and that's not good because look at the Buccaneers, Bill, the last 4 weeks, okay? They scored 38, 28, 36, and 42 points.
Yeah, they're putting points on the board.
That is major points. Doug Martin right now is up for Rookie of the Year honors with Andrew Luck, probably a distant second to Luck at the moment. But nevertheless, Martin is extremely impressive. Josh Freeman seems to be getting it going. They have the play action game going. They've got his new weapon, Vincent Jackson's making big plays down the field. Mike Williams is not getting double teamed anymore. The offense is working. Defense isn't so hot. I think they get the job done against the Chargers here. I'm not a believer in North Turner. JerMichael Finley, makes you crazy. North Turner makes me crazy. So I cannot bet on North Turner. I'm going with the Bucs here to win their 3rd in a row.
Buccaneers wide receiver Vincent Jackson will gets the opportunity to take on his former team with the Chargers.
Yeah, good point. He'll make them pay. And by the way, Vincent Jackson, have you seen his yards per catch?
It's incredible.
I mean, he's got 31 receptions on the year for 710 yards. That's 23 yards per catch. He's like, don't quote me on this, but I think he's something like 40th in wide receivers in receptions in the league. 40th.
Yeah.
In the number of receptions. But he's like top 5 or 10 in yards.
Okay. He picks up yards in bunches.
Deep threat, baby.
Yeah, love it. All right, another big game for AFC playoff implications. The Denver Broncos are taking on the Carolina Panthers. Now, we don't expect Carolina Panthers to win this one. But if they did, all of a sudden, now the Denver Broncos don't look as strong as they previously would be. They're only 5-3 right now. They lose to the Panthers. They're 5-4. All of a sudden, maybe the Colts jump ahead of them. Maybe the San Diego Chargers jump ahead of them. Must-win game for the Broncos here, in my opinion.
Must-win game, I disagree, because the next 2 games they get the Chargers and the Chiefs, they can pound on those divisional rivals and pound them back down to submission. Dude, the Broncos, barring an injury to Peyton Manning, Bill, Broncos are going to win the AFC West.
Okay.
I know they're only up by 1 game in the win-loss column on the Chargers right now. Come on. They're going to win the AFC West. This team has won 3 in a row. They've won 4 out of 5, and they're looking good doing it. I see them going into Carolina. You know, they might not win them in the prettiest fashion, but they'll beat the Panthers and move to 6-3. I can't. You really think that they could fall behind the Chargers or the Raiders or the Chiefs in the AFC West and miss the playoffs?
I don't think they will. All I'm saying is if they lose this game, that AFC West playoff picture and that wild card spot becomes a little bit more cloudy.
Don't worry about the wild card spot. They don't have to worry about the wild card spot because they're going to win their division. Foregone conclusion. How about that? Again, Bill, today is the day of bold predictions.
All right.
The Broncos are winning the AFC West. It's a foregone conclusion.
We'll get into our updated playoff picture maybe in the next segment, just a few minutes
here. Yeah, no retort on that? Come on.
I agree with you.
Don't worry about the wild card. Don't worry about the wild card. The teams that have to worry about the wild card, as you mentioned before, the Colts and the Dolphins, those types of teams got to worry about the wild card. And even the Chargers. Chargers in the wild card mix, perhaps. But the Broncos are going to win. They're going to win 10 games. It'll be 10-6. And there's no way the Chargers get the 10 wins in the AFC West. So they'll be fine.
All right. Moving on to a very exciting game. If you like, I don't know who you'd be looking forward to in this game other than Ray Rice. Oakland Raiders taking on the Baltimore Ravens. No Darren McFadden for the Raiders. You got Carson Palmer versus Joe Flacco. Maybe you're looking forward to that matchup. I don't know.
This is brutal. Now, I will say that the Ravens are very fortunate that they have the Raiders this week. You know, we talked about the Ravens. They got devastated injuries in October, right? They kind of limped into the bye week. 6-2, so they were still 6-2, but they got pounded by the Texans by 40. It was 43-13, I believe. They lost the Texans. Got to their bye week, regrouped a little bit. And then they come out of the bye playing the Browns and the Raiders. What a great way to kind of rebound.
Right.
They took care of the Browns. Kind of ugly, but they beat them 25-15 last week. They get the Raiders at home. I think it'll be another win, another ugly win. But it'll move them to 7-2, Bill. And, you know, as much as you knock them and maybe not believe in them with all the injuries that they have on defense, you know, 7-2 is 7-2, and they'll be in prime position for that wild card spot if they don't take care of business in the AFC North. I still think the Steelers are going to overlap them. They're going to lap them
and
take care of the AFC North. So the Ravens, in my opinion, will be one of those wild card teams.
Baltimore is 4-0 down there in the Ravens' nest. I doubt the Oakland Raiders are the team that make the trip across the country and take away that undefeated streak at home.
I agree.
All right, moving on. New York Jets flying to Seattle, which we all know if you listen to this show is basically Canada, to take on the Seattle Seahawks.
When are we going to get a good matchup here, Bill? Jeez.
No, we're not.
Jets-Seattle.
There's maybe one other game that you might be a little interested in. Other than that, this week's games suck.
This is terrible. Jets at Seattle. First 1-20 wins. I'll take the home team, Seattle. Are they undefeated still at home, Bill?
The Seattle Seahawks are, yes, they are undefeated at home.
Yeah, so I think they keep the streak alive. Not the prettiest team to watch. They get the job done. I tell you what, if they somehow, is there any way? I guess there's no way they could host a wild card game, right? They'd have to win the division, which isn't going to happen. I'm trying to figure out a way if they get a home game in the playoffs.
You know? I don't think that's possible. They're 4-0 at home. They're 1-4 on the road. Wow,
exactly. Talk about so.
Tale of two halves there.
And we'll get into the playoff picture down the line, but you know, the Seahawks are right in the thick of it to maybe obtain one of those wild card spots. But if they have to play on the road, forget about it. If they have to play at home, tough game. Tough game for whoever goes up there, like you said, to Canada to have to play them. The Jets, you know, how can you bet on the Jets, Bill? The Jets, you know, are just another
Can't
team.
Do it.
They're not worth watching at all. Unless Tebow gets in there, and then that gets a little bit interesting. I'll take Seattle to win in a boring game. Call it 17-16. What about that?
I hope it rains and pours all over Rex Ryan in that game. I hope he gets soaking wet.
Hey, by the way, that's the first of the 3 4 o'clock games to look forward to.
Yes, you are correct. So we are now in the 4 o'clock game. There's only three of them. Another great job. I don't know if you can pick up on my sarcasm here by the NFL scheduling committee. New York Jets at Seattle. Then the next game is Dallas Cowboys at Philadelphia taking on the Eagles. NFC East rivalry. A lot of big-name, high-profile players. You got Tony Romo, Mike Vick. A lot of drama going on right now with Jerry Jones, Andy Reid. So a lot of storylines, a lot of headlines surrounding this game. But to be quite honest, both of these teams stink.
Yeah, they do. Somebody's got to win it. But whoever loses it is pretty much officially out, right? They're both 3-5, Bill. So whoever loses this game will go to 3-6 and basically would have to probably – go, what, 6-1 the rest of the way? You figure 9-7 might get you the wild card in the NFC.
Yeah,
so
probably.
Whoever loses this game is pretty much out of it. Two teams that kind of mirror each other, you know, both come into the season with high expectations, and they both are sitting at 5-3. The Eagles falling apart. Four of their starting offensive linemen are out, and it showed. I mean, the Saints just, I mean, some of the stuff the Saints were doing to the Eagles and Mike Vick, it's really not all on Mike Vick. I mean, I don't think Vick's the solution there, even when they have a healthy offensive line, Bill. But he has no time. He has zero time to throw the ball.
Hit as he throws.
He was getting pounded. It's only a matter of time before he gets injured and misses a couple games, and they'll see Nick Foles. Who's going to win this game, Bill? I'm going to say Dallas on the road.
Okay.
Just so much turmoil for both teams. Both coaches embattled. I think the Eagles are in a little worse shape given their offensive line woes that we just talked about. So I'm going to take the Cowboys to pull this one off in Philadelphia.
Eagles are on a 4-game losing streak. Cowboys are on a 2-game losing streak. I think the Eagles end that losing streak, get their first win in 5 games here. There you go.
All right.
St. Louis Rams at the San Francisco 49ers. Another barn burner for the 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time games. NFC West matchup. I think the 49ers are going to take it to the Rams hardcore on this one.
Yeah. Another bad matchup. What more can you say? Long gone are the days of the Rams and the Niners back when Jerry Rice roamed the sidelines, and these were some exciting high-scoring games, two good teams. These teams, the Niners are far, far superior. And, they haven't played each other yet. This is the first of two matchups. So the Niners get these guys twice, Bill, the next month. So if you're looking for the Niners to fall from their lofty perch, it won't happen this week. I think that they pound the Rams. I'm going to say 24-3.
Yeah, that's my biggest lock of the week, Niners over the Rams. Biggest lock of the week.
Yeah, it's at home. Yeah, I just they're coming off a bye, too, Bill. The Niners are coming off a bye.
Right.
So, you got to figure they're gonna pound the Rams.
All right, and the final game for Week 10, Monday night matchup, Kansas City traveling to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. Kansas City Chiefs, we're going to reveal our bottom five NFL power rankings in the next segment. They're every week in the bottom five, one of the worst teams in the NFL. They may have the number one pick in next year's draft. What do you think of their chances against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have been on fire?
Yeah, the Pittsburgh's one of those three teams we identified, Bill, a couple weeks ago as teams to watch. They're going to go on streaks, and they are streaking, and they're playing well, and they're at home, and Kansas City is playing horribly, and they're on the road. Kansas City's lost 5 in a row, make it 6 in a row in the Steel City. I don't give them much of a chance at all in this one. Steelers will win this one big.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, so your biggest prediction or your biggest lock of the week, San Francisco 49ers over the Rams?
Yeah, I guess so. Yep.
Do you have an upset?
Dude, I have an upset in the mix there.
I guess the Cowboys over the Eagles.
Cowboys, Eagles, perhaps. You know, this time of year, I mean, we aren't going to see quite as many upsets, I don't think. You know, did we talk about the Detroit Vikings game?
No, we did not. I must have not included that one in here.
You didn't include that one in here. That actually might be the second best game of the day.
Detroit Lions at Minnesota Vikings. Lions are on a 2-game winning streak?
Yeah, well, I'm looking at my picks for the week, and that might be my other upset pick. I'm not sure if it's considered an upset or not, but the Lions are on the road at Minnesota in a game, and I think this is the most compelling division in all of the NFL. The NFC North, Bill. Look at it. You got Chicago at 7-1.
Right.
Packers 6-3. Vikings 5-4, Detroit 4-4. I think Detroit gets it done here. They're on a little streak of their own. I think they get to 5-4, beating the Vikings and send the Vikings to 5-5. But again, though, interesting division, and it's very possible that three teams in that division wind up in the NFC playoffs.
Yeah, that would certainly be a sight to see, considering the Bears and the Packers have typically dominated that division the last couple years.
Yeah, you figure those two teams are in, right? And, the Lions are certainly capable of turning it around. They've won 3 out of 4. The one loss was a 13-7 game against the Bears, where, if you remember, they turned it over 1,000 times in the red zone. Like, that was a winnable game for them.
Yeah.
So, the Lions are playing pretty well right now. And they get the Vikings this week and the Packers next week. So they need to make some noise in these next 2 weeks and see if they can you know, jockey for some playoff positioning. So that's the one game I think you forgot from the 1 o'clock slate. That, in my opinion, is the second best game of the day. I'm going with the Lions. I think that's, I guess that's considered my upset pick, right? Lions on the road?
Absolutely, because Minnesota's 4-1 at home. Tough place to play. Detroit
no
Lions.
No Percy Harvin, Bill.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with Percy. He's been hobbling around the Vikings facility.
And you cannot dismiss
what?
Christian Ponder's new girlfriend. Ever since he started seeing Samantha Steele, ESPN reporter.
Yeah, she's hot.
They have been slumping.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, hot.
I don't
want
that,
to
so.
Touch the hiney.
It's been all over the internet. He's actually had to explain himself. Seriously, with the press, with the media up there in Minnesota, Christian Ponder's had to explain how this is not affecting his play.
You know, a lot of Patriot fans out there think that Tom Brady plays worse when Giselle is in the crowd or since, you know, marrying Giselle. I don't buy into that personal life
Yoko
stuff.
Yoko Ono, baby.
It happened a couple years ago with Tony Romo and Jessica Simpson. Now yep. Christian Ponder and Samantha Steele. I don't get into that. I mean, everyone's a professional. When my girlfriend doesn't prevent me from doing my job. Does your wife prevent you from doing your job, Todd? Don't
Sometimes
answer
get
that.
Distracted.
Don't
Sometimes.
Answer that if you're going to get in trouble.
Everybody just do your job!
Yeah, right. Everyone just do your job. Enough about the Samantha Steele, Christian Ponder love fair.
I'm telling you, when the Lions go in there and beat Ponder in Minnesota, he will have to answer the question yet again. Samantha Steele, he might have to break up with her.
I think, Todd, that the Lions, I'm looking here, are actually 2.5-point favorites to win the game.
Nah, doesn't count as an upset.
I have no upset, Bill.
No.
Unless Dallas. Is Dallas a
favorite? Yeah, Dallas is still the upset, I think.
All right, Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas is 2.5-point dogs
there you
on
go.
The road.
All right.
All right, so that was our Week 10 preview. Coming up, Football Nation NFL Power Rankings. You don't want to miss that. So stay tuned. You're listening to Patriots.com Radio.
Every football fan has a voice at footballnation.com.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL 400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G0 19 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock now. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on staff. Utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment, plus easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. This approval is solely for the purpose of evaluating compliance with Bridgestone's co-op policy. This approval does not in any way constitute, and Bridgestone expressly disclaims, any legal opinion or representation that the ad complies with any applicable laws, rules, or regulations.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center,
located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
Welcome back to Football Nation. Bill Enright, Todd DeVries. We have returned with our Football Nation Power Rankings. Every week we go over the bottom five, the top 10 teams right now in the NFL. We don't do it based on record. This is a power ranking list. Todd, let's start off with the worst five teams in the NFL, the bottom five teams. This group of five really doesn't change too much week to week, because once you're awful, you're awful. You're terrible, disgusting. You really can't get things going. Number 28, the Carolina Panthers. We've seen them struggle a lot in games. A few close ones they lost, but pretty much they're just terrible, and they're going to remain in the bottom five here.
Cam Newton, sophomore slump. Oh, should have seen it coming, buddy. Did you see the news about Cam Newton? How there's a kid, a local high school kid, who scored a touchdown, and he did the Cam Newton like Superman jersey thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
After celebrating a touchdown, and he got kicked out of the game, like a huge playoff game down there in North Carolina, and he got kicked out. That made some headlines. So Cam Newton tried to apologize for being a poor role model. That was an interesting interview if you get to see that online. Tried to see Cam Newton explain himself on that. Not blaming him, but just Cam Newton is he needs to grow up a little bit, in my opinion. And until he does, I think this team's going to continue to be mediocre at best. Bill, I think what it is with them, you know, they got a whole off season of tape on Cam Newton, and they figured out ways to stop him. And it's pretty much as simple as that. He's been awful this year.
Yeah, I agree. Wasn't expecting that. I actually projected the Panthers to go to the Super Bowl this year. I try to say that as quickly as possible so you don't really hear what I'm saying. I'm shocked by the Panthers this year. They lost seven games last year by 7 points or less. I thought they were going to turn things around. I thought their defense would have got on track. But after the first month of the season, it was clear they were going nowhere fast.
I agree, but to back you up a little bit, I mean, they've really only gotten blown out once. They lost by 6 points, 2, 4, 5, and 1.
Right.
So there's games there they could have pulled out. You know, they're probably more of a 500 team right now than a 2-6 team.
Right.
But, you know, look at their schedule next 2 weeks. They get the Broncos, and they get Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are playing very well right now. Very possible these guys are 2-8 after a couple more weeks. And once they're 2-8, I mean, do you think Cam Newton's going to be able to rally the troops there?
No,
he's not that type of guy. So, you know, they're going to be just playing out the string down the stretch.
All right, the number 29 team is the Oakland Raiders. It was only a matter of time before their star running back, Darren McFadden, went down with an injury. He did just that in Week 9. Questionable to play in Week 10. I think he's going to be out quite some time. Take McFadden out of that lineup, and all of a sudden you're looking at a Carson Palmer, a washed-up veteran, Darius Heyward-Bey, Denarius Moore, two talented wide receivers but don't really produce a lot.
And then their defense can't stop anyone. Doug Martin ran all over them last week, 4 touchdowns for 254 yards. Raiders, one of the worst teams in the NFL right now, once again.
Yeah, you know, they've won 3 games. One of them was against the Steelers early in the season, and I think the Steelers were just having a bad week because there's no excuse for losing that game. But the other two wins they have, Bill, are against Jacksonville and Kansas City, and not to, ruin the rest of our rankings here, but those two teams are two of the worst 3 teams in the league. So,
yeah,
so the two of their wins, not terribly impressive. They get the Ravens this week. That should be a loss. And then they have a couple winnable games. They got the Saints, Bengals, Browns. So, you know, they'll probably scrape together 6 wins on the year, something like that. But not impressive, not exciting if you're a Raiders fan. Seriously, what's exciting about the Raiders moving forward?
Their draft pick in 2013?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you got an old washed-up quarterback. You got a guy, you know, at running back who's probably your best player. He can't stay healthy ever.
Yeah.
No wide receivers to think, you know, that scare anyone. Defensively, I mean, who do they have defensively? No one. They've got nothing.
Richard Seymour.
Yeah, I guess. He kind of gets lost in the shuffle, I guess. So they're number 29.
I can't even say that you're looking forward to their draft in 2013 because they don't have any picks. They traded them all for Carson Palmer.
Oh, geez, did they? That's right.
Oh, man, the Oakland Raiders. You know, everyone thought with the passing of Al Davis, that team would be able to get better and they'd be able to make some right decisions. But it's just clear that, they're just a struggling franchise. And I think it's going to stay that way for the foreseeable future.
Well, number 30 on our list is another struggling franchise, Bill, the Cleveland Browns. Now, they have a brighter future than the Raiders, you would think, with some of the young rookies at the skill positions that they have. Trent Richardson's a beast when he's healthy.
Yeah.
And, you know, Brandon Whedon's been up and down a little bit, but I'd rather have Brandon Whedon right now than Carson Palmer moving forward. So what's your take on the Browns this point of the season?
When they're playing at home, they seem to be able to win. They're 2-3 at home, 0-4 on the road. They have a one-game losing streak. They were able to beat the San Diego Chargers. I know that's your least favorite team in the NFL, so that's really not a big claim to fame. I think the score was 7-6. I think that was their most recent win.
They play
in a tough division. They play in a really, really tough division. When you play against the Baltimore Ravens, the Pittsburgh Steelers twice a year, and then throw in the Bengals, even if you split with the Bengals, with the Ravens and the Steelers on the schedule, that's pretty much you're starting off with 4 losses already.
And they haven't played the Steelers yet, Bill. They got to play the Steelers twice still.
Yeah, good luck with that, Cleveland.
Yeah, so they got to play the Steelers twice. They got to play Denver. So there's 3 automatic losses. They're sitting there with 2 wins right now, and 2-7, I believe.
Yeah.
And they're definitely going to lose. You got to figure they're probably going to lose 3 of those games. They'll be 2-10, and then probably wind up winning 5 games, maybe 5-11. And they got some winnable games coming up. They do play the Raiders. They play the Chiefs, 2 teams that we're not high on at all. They get the Cowboys. You never know with the Cowboys. But yeah, the Browns, they're just another team, and it's not very scary right now, Bill.
Let's move on to the 2 worst teams in the NFL, 31 and 32, on our bottom 5 Football Nation power rankings. And we'll group these two together because there's really no separation between them. You can swap either one, 31-32. Kansas City Chiefs and the Jacksonville Jaguars, both of them are 1-7. And Todd, you got to imagine that one of these two teams are going to have the first pick in the NFL draft for 2013. And I don't know if either of them will end up taking a quarterback, even though that seems to be their biggest need.
Yeah, I'm kind of going on record as saying that don't be fooled into this year's quarterback class, Bill. Matt Barkley, Geno Smith, Logan Thomas, whoever that number one quarterback might be this year, he can't hold a candle to the wind.
Todd, are you playing street hockey over there or something?
What's that?
It sounds like someone keeps hitting the post, the crossbar.
Really?
Yeah.
That was me. I was flipping a coin in the air.
There you go.
It sounded like
oh, that's a good
one. That's how I make my picks.
It sounded like a puck, like hitting the crossbar.
No, I'm flipping my coin in the air and I didn't catch it.
Kevin, craving some hockey.
I am craving hockey. I want my big bad Bruins back.
Oh, yeah. By the way, can I get some inside info on hockey?
Go ahead.
I think the lockout's going to end by Sunday.
Okay.
That's your hot take? Did your coin just tell you that?
No, that's my hot tip. That's my hot tip. I can't tell you my sources. Can't reveal my sources. A good journalist doesn't reveal his private sources, his secret sources. However,
That's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing by the end of this weekend, hockey will be back.
Kevin, that's the coin talking, bud.
Okay. I won't get my hopes up then.
You'll see. Everyone will be calling me. Wow, Billy,
you nailed it. I just kept hearing this like, bing. And I was like, what is he doing playing street hockey over there?
No, I'll slip up my coin. Anyway, back to the Kansas City Chiefs and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Todd, neither of these teams both of these teams, in my opinion, need a quarterback. Blaine Gabbert drafted just 2 years ago, but you're saying that
the answer
Matt
is not
Barkley,
the first
round, Geno Smith, Logan Thomas, any of the quarterbacks that are coming into this year's draft class are not worthy of that number one selection.
Number one overall, no way.
Nope. So that's some bad news for the Chiefs and the Jaguars then.
Yeah, but, you know, they're quarterbacks, so someone will go in the top five or top three or maybe even at number one. But I'm telling you that there are years where it's legit and there are years when it is not, and this is a year where it is not. Now, you know, quarterback is everything in the NFL, so whoever is deemed the number one QB in this class, maybe Matt Barkley probably, we'll see. See, he's going to go way higher than he should. That's my only point. You know, this is a year where the first quarterback probably should go in the middle of the first round, you know, 15th, 18th, but it won't happen. Someone will go in that top five. But like you said, if these two teams are looking for a quarterback, you know, sometimes, Bill, it's you got to be in the right spot at the right time. Look at the Colts, right? They lose at the right time. They lost in the right year. They have Andrew Luck for the next decade. They got him for the next decade. This guy, they lost in the right year, my friend. So.
Yep.
So not much hope if you're a Chiefs fan or if you are a Jacksonville Jaguars fan.
How much did the Colts pay Peyton Manning to sit out for the whole season?
Yeah, seriously. Hey, you know, it kind of reminds me, going to the NBA, the San Antonio Spurs, a different scenario. But if you remember back when David Robinson was injured and Tim Duncan was coming out of college.
Right.
I believe Robinson was pretty much healthy and ready to go for the last part of the season, and they just said, why don't you stay rest? Rest it up, Dave.
Rest it up, Admiral.
And they went on to continue to lose, and the Spurs, who were a very good team, had a terrible year, and they got Tim Duncan in the draft lottery. The rest is history. This is a little bit different, obviously. You can't start two quarterbacks in the NFL, but you got to figure there was something to do with that. 2-14 season last year, Bill. 5-3 the Colts, and in a couple hours they could be 6-3.
It's amazing.
So it's a lot of it's timing and when you lose, and you know, this is the wrong year to have the number one pick, in my opinion.
All right, of these five teams, Todd, who is going to have the number one pick next year? Well, it can't be the Oakland Raiders because they don't have a first round pick.
Oh,
Panthers, Browns,
teams,
Chiefs, Jaguars.
It might be the Jags.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be Jags or Chiefs. I think we've got it nailed here. It'll be one of those two. I'm going to go with the Jaguars.
All right, so that was our bottom five. Panthers coming at 28, Raiders 29, 30 are the Browns, 31, 32, interchangeable Kansas City Chiefs and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's move on to the top 10, the good teams, the fun teams. You want to watch these guys, likely going to be in the playoffs. So start off with number 10. We got the Baltimore Ravens here. Despite their record, which is 6-2, fourth best in the NFL, we have them at number 10 on the power rankings.
Well,
what's
they've been hanging
that?
On. Yeah, they've been at number 10 for a few weeks now for us, right?
Yeah.
And first of all, disclaimer for our top 10 this week. Bill and I, we agreed on the 10 teams, but I let Bill rank them this week.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're going to
call the shots here.
Bill's rankings, and I will let you know where he's wrong. But I think we both agree the Ravens, you know, they just kind of, they're one of the better teams, but they're just so injured. Number 10, just hanging on. You know, they'll be fine. They got a couple winnable games here coming up. And I think they'll be in that wild card spot. So,
you know what the Ravens are doing?
What's that?
You know what the Ravens are doing?
No, what are they doing?
They're hanging around.
Oh boy,
we're gonna do that again?
Yeah. You know what that's from? It's from Rounders.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay. We already did that, right?
Deja vu.
You guys got it this time, though.
There's like 14 people out there, Bill, that get the reference.
Nice.
Up
hit me up on Twitter
people.
If you get the reference at @FBNation_Bill. No crickets on that one. My John Malkovich impression is on the spot.
I'm telling you, Bill, we should have a segment each week, Bill's Impressions.
I'll do it. Sign me up.
We'll
sign me
sign
up.
You up right. Each week.
Bill's
Baltimore Ravens,
improv.
Number 10. Who's number 9?
Well, you tell me. You put him at number 9.
New York Giants struggling right now. Eli Manning started off the year very hot, started quieting it down, started cooling off. Victor Cruz not getting it done. We haven't seen the salsa in a few weeks. Hakeem Nicks banged up for the Giants. Their defense is playing poorly. I got him at number 9.
G-Man!
Yeah.
I think I can't disagree with that from a regular season ranking, which is where we are right now. But once the playoffs roll around, they're not the ninth best team in this league.
We'll see.
Not even close.
The last six teams to win the Super Bowl haven't made it past their first round playoff game, their first playoff game the following season.
Doesn't matter. This is a very good team, and they're built for the playoffs, Bill. So if you want to rank them nine now in November, okay. But I'm telling you, once the playoffs begin, if the playoffs even began right now and we were ranking like the odds of winning the Super Bowl, yeah. I would put them in the top three.
Well, we had them in the top three last week. I moved them down to the nine after they lost to our number eight team, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Steelers, hey, how about the running game that they've suddenly found? They just kind of plug in whoever.
Three straight running backs with over 100 yards.
Yeah. I mean, Jonathan Dwyer, Isaac Redman, these are not household names. You know, this is not Jerome Bettis from 10 years ago. And they get the job done. You know, you got Big Ben, a little worrisome with Antonio Brown going down with an injury, leaving them with Mike Wallace as the number one option. But Steelers are starting to streak, man. And with the Ravens being vulnerable, Steelers get the Ravens, I believe, what, two times in the next 4 weeks they play each other?
Yeah, they get them twice. Those are going to be huge games.
Two big games.
Especially for Patriots fans.
Those are gigantic games for the Patriots fans to watch.
If the Steelers can somehow win those two games, it puts Baltimore back behind the Patriots, despite the fact the Patriots lost to them.
Right, so the tiebreaker wouldn't even matter.
Yeah, so those are huge games. And also looking forward to that that Chicago-Houston game this Sunday.
The Bears. You're going for the Bears, baby. All Patriots fans should be.
We are. I'm actually hoping that we get a chance to, since we have the 1 o'clock game, I'm hoping to get out of here and get home in time to watch that game. I know a lot
that
of people
won't
are
happen.
The same. Probably not.
No.
Probably not.
You're going to have to do something. A lot of traffic. I don't know.
You know what I'll be doing, Bill?
What?
Hanging around.
I say that's just like him. Hanging around.
You don't have that. Sounds like he's got a hairball or something in there.
Teddy KGB.
I don't know how to describe it.
Hanging around.
Yeah, I don't. I can't even do it.
Yeah, that's what you're gonna be doing.
I gotta go to Foxwoods this weekend or something. I'm getting the itch just watching these Rounders clips here.
My bad impressions are triggering.
Yes, they're triggering
Kevin's
my gambling addiction. Exactly. That's what's happening. So when I go to therapy next week, I'll be like that damn Bill Enright.
Yeah, there you go.
See, instead of the Oreo cookie, Bill has a coin.
There you go.
Yeah, I do.
You just can't eat it after you're done with it. I hope not.
No, I'm not.
It's some sort of a robot or something.
Just flipping it.
He just flips it. It's his like nervous energy.
It's like there's so much. I do something different every week. Last week I was. I don't want.
We should get you like a stress ball or something. You know, one of those little squeezy things.
To me, those just add to my anxiety.
Okay.
I need to be, like, twirling my fingers. Like, usually, like, I have a pen in my hand, and I'm just flipping it around.
Do you like me? I think I transfer my energy. I always shake my leg.
Oh, uncontrollably.
Yeah, so I always annoy people doing that.
Sometimes I get both of them. People won't like sitting next to me on the couch because they're like, Bill,
you'll shake
you're
the whole
shaking
couch.
The whole couch.
Exactly. You must be miserable on an airplane, Bill.
Well, that's another story.
We have to sedate Bill heavily before he flies.
I get loaded up.
Oh, jeez. Bill, it's a dry plane for Bill from now on.
No, man. I haven't flown in 4 years.
Really?
Too much anxiety.
You don't like now, is it you don't like the idea of flying, or you just don't like the idea of sitting down and being in a small space for that
long? I hate being surrounded by strangers that I don't know
okay.
in tight quarters.
So you don't like subways either, then?
Hate the subway.
Okay.
We'll always take a taxi.
He's like John Rocker. He hates the subway, the New York City subway.
For totally different reasons. Totally different reason.
But I don't. I'm with you on the subway, though.
Kevin, we're learning a lot about Bill today.
We are. This is helpful. We're learning a lot about why Bill is who he is.
This is
we're going to need a lot more than 2 hour radio show.
At some point, we'll peel back enough of the layers to get to the point that you know maybe we'll figure out why he likes to dress up and drag.
That's right.
But that's for another time. I'm sorry, I got us off track.
He's a very complicated.
I don't know how we went from talking about how like Baltimore. In the Pittsburgh game and all that to this. I don't know how that happened. Things escalated quickly.
I love it. I like when that happens. Add some energy to the show.
Bill, number
seven. Value. Number seven, the Denver Broncos, Peyton Manning and the crew have the boys on fire. Eric Decker, 7 touchdowns in the last 5 games. Demaryius Thomas is lighting it up. Even old man Willis McGahee is getting it done for the Broncos. That's why I put him at number 7 this week, Todd.
That's the way to transition, my friend.
There you go.
The hype for Peyton Manning.
Not many of us
believed it back in the summer, right? And it's coming to fruition, man. Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning all over again, just a new uniform. And his team has won 4 out of 5. They get Carolina, San Diego, and the Chiefs the next 3 weeks, Bill.
AFC West schedule for the Broncos is just so easy. It's really unfair.
Very winnable games. They're 5-3 right now, could easily be 8-3 after a few more weeks.
Wow. Maybe I should have put them a little bit higher on these power rankings.
I think these top 7 teams, I think there's a little bit of a dotted line after the 7th and 8th team. I think there's a separation between number 7 and number 8. I think that these top 7 are all viable, Super Bowl champions. And number 6, the Green Bay Packers. Why'd you
put them at 6? They are on fire. Aaron Rodgers getting things going. They're on a 4-game winning streak. 4-1 at home. Love what the Packers are doing on offense lately. Their defense has been struggling a little bit, but you know what? When Aaron Rodgers is tossing 4 or 5 touchdowns, 3 or 4 touchdowns a game, you don't have to worry about the defense that much. As long as they can keep teams under 20 points, they're going to win the game.
The scary thing is, too, guys, they have the bye week this week to get healthy and get, you know, Jordy Nelson maybe a week and Jennings another week. So they're going to be coming out the gates in the second half firing, I think.
Randall Cobb, one of the best playmakers on that team. Love watching him play. Forget about Jennings.
They have 5. I talked about how I love the NFC North this year. I think it's just the most compelling division. They have 5 divisional games remaining after this bye week.
Wow.
There'll be a lot of big-time games coming up.
Good. Makes up for the lack of quality games in Week 10.
Yeah. I mean,
hopefully all those big-time games are at 4 o'clock for you, Bill.
None of them are.
No, of course not.
Not a single
I still
one.
Have to get my boy John Hansen on this show. That's my job for next week.
John Hansen or Scott Hansen?
Scott Hansen. Who did I say?
You might when you call him, you might want to get his name right. Just saying.
Yeah, Scott. Scott Hansen. That's what I meant.
Scott Hansen, the red zone connoisseur.
Right.
The Packers. I agree with you. Number 6, man. Aaron Rodgers. He started off awfully slow. Remember when we talked about in our fantasy segment, Bill, how some of our audience was talking about dumping or trying to trade Aaron Rodgers. He wasn't living up to the hype.
Are you nuts?
Yeah, I think that's what we told them. And hopefully they listened to us. After 3 games.
Are you mental?
After 3 games, he only had 3 touchdown passes.
Yeah,
now
he has
25 now.
Right, he had 13 in the following 3 games. Started off with 3, then he had 13.
9 games, 25 touchdown passes, Bill. So he's on a pace for like 40 touchdown passes.
44, him and Drew Brees, both
44,
on pace for 44
it?
Touchdowns. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, the Packers are rolling, as we predicted here on the show. Packers are rolling and should be entertaining watching them in the NFC North. Some of those, well, actually, unfortunately, a lot of those games are going to be in domes because they play the Lions on the road and the Vikings on the road here in the next couple months. But I love the NFC North in the December time frame.
All right, now let's get into the top 5. We got the Patriots saying at number 5. Should they be higher? Did I screw up here with the Patriots? They had a bye last week. They didn't play anybody, but their schedule coming up, it's so easy. I'd be surprised if they lose maybe week 14 against the Houston Texans. Is their next toughest game.
For you and I, Bill, they have to run the table.
They do have to run the table.
So every week we're sweating it out from here on in.
Just another bet gone wrong.
Not yet,
guys.
Though. We've dodged a few weeks here. That Jets game, I thought, it wasn't looking so good there. But we get out of that one, Bill.
Yeah.
You guys predicted them to go, what, like 9-1 at the time?
Yeah, and then they lost the first game to Seattle after we made the bet. So now we have to run it here. So far, so good. Knock on wood.
We're going to run it.
It's not going to happen, guys.
Just let them keep hating, right, Bill? Just let them keep hating.
Yeah, high hater.
You're going to get tripped up if they make it that far. And I think they're going to lose a couple. But if they make it that far, they're going to get tripped up. They got Houston, San Fran back to back, right?
They're both at home though.
Both at home,
and they're both teams that you know
can't score points.
Well, one plays indoors, and the other plays in California, which can't be that cold. And we're talking about prime time 8:30 games at night in December in Foxborough. And I don't know if you guys saw the picture of me standing on the field last night with 4 inches of snow.
I did. Very cool.
So, yeah. I mean, that's what we could easily be looking at when it comes to those games.
I want to come to that Week 14 game, Monday Night Football against the Texans. Yeah, that's the game I want to come to.
And talking with Kerry last night when we were out there, you know, we immediately fast-forwarded to those two games. And we said, you know, if it's like this, the Patriots, just for some reason, they just play really well at home in the snow. So if you're a Patriots fan, you know, pray for snow those 2 weeks, because they're going to be tough games. But if you can get those teams that are used to playing in either warm weather or indoors out in the elements, it's definitely a huge advantage.
Now, we're doing the power rankings, so we have the Patriots at number 5. We just got an email from John in New York. He wants to know do we see the Patriots secondary getting any stronger over the next 8 games? He says it always feels like the Patriots need to be ahead by 2 scores to win the game. He says it should be 7-1, and he's happy the Patriots are quiet right now on the ESPN power rankings. Not so quiet for us. They're number 5 on the Football Nation power rankings.
Let me answer it this way.
Yeah.
All right. Here are the starting quarterbacks they're going to be facing the rest of the way. The Patriots. Okay. Mm-hmm. Fitzpatrick, Luck,
outside
Sanchez.
The top 15, inside the top 10, Luck, inside the top 12, Luck, Sanchez outside the top 20.
Tannehill.
Gone. Outside the top 20.
Schaub.
Inside the
Alex
top 20.
Alex Smith.
Outside the top 20.
Blaine Gabbert.
Outside the top 30.
Shouldn't even be starting again. In the league.
Tannehill
again, outside the top
20. Is there anyone there that really scares you?
No.
Nobody.
Yeah, so to answer the emailer's question, statistically speaking, you would think that they would improve greatly in the second half, even if they play just as poorly, based purely upon the competition.
And they have they have 5 games at home, too, which is huge. 5 of the 8 games are at home.
There you go.
And you're making up all the reasons to run the table here, guys.
We're trying here. We're trying.
Yeah, we'll see. They'll slip somewhere. They only have to slip once for me to win.
I'll put it this way, Todd. I like you have the odds here, but Bill and I, we have a chance. We got a shot.
We got a chance.
So you're saying there's
a chance.
There's
a chance. That's correct.
All right, let's move on.
Enough of this. Enough of the top 5.
We number 4, Chicago
number 5.
Bears.
Number 4, right. Chicago Bears are number 4. We love their defense, causing a lot of turnovers. Not crazy about their offense, otherwise they'd probably be higher on this list.
I would have the Patriots ranked higher than the Bears. However, I will say this. If the Bears take care of business against the Texans, I think they deserve to be ranked higher than the Patriots. So we'll find out Sunday night whether the Bears deserve a loftier ranking.
All right, number 3. They're undefeated, but they come in at number 3. They're the Atlanta Falcons. 8-0, best team in the NFL. We still don't have them in the top 3, in the top 2.
It's the same argument that we've made the past couple of weeks. I think
they haven't beaten anybody.
Yeah, their competition winning percentage is, I believe, 37%. They just haven't beaten anyone. And when they win, they play down to the opponent's level, typically, right? Last week, struggled to beat Dallas. They smashed the Eagles, but we all know what the Eagles are now. They barely beat the Raiders. They barely beat the Redskins. They barely beat the Panthers.
Right.
So, you know, they haven't been impressive, but they're 8-0. And today, Roddy White comes out and says that they've got the mental makeup to be 16-0.
Yeah, he needs to shut his mouth with that nonsense.
Yes, he does.
The last time I checked, you don't get a trophy, a ring, or any bragging rights for being 16-0.
I can tell you that much.
Why would he even bring that up?
You knew somebody was going to have to say it.
That's just ridiculous.
You know, again, I don't care if they go 16-0. They will not win in January. They will not be able to piece together a couple wins. They're not going to the Super Bowl. They're not.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah. They have not won a playoff game under Matt Ryan yet.
No, they're not. And there's you know, the NFC is pretty tough, I think. You know, you're going to have to beat the Packers, Giants, San Francisco.
Bill,
you know, you got some teams, man.
Bill, didn't they score like 2 points against the Giants in that playoff game?
24-2 last year.
Just awful.
2 points.
I'm with you guys on this one. Not buying in yet.
So, but look at their upcoming 4 games. They get the Saints twice. Right? Cardinals and Bucks. How about why don't we do this? Before we go to number 2-1 here. When's the next loss for the Falcons?
This week.
This week, yep.
I think they win this week. Let's say they get past this week.
All right,
I think they're going to win this week.
I don't.
They get the Cardinals at Tampa Bay.
Win.
At Tampa Bay, huh?
Yeah,
they get the Saints at home. They go to Carolina.
Win.
Giants at home.
I love it. He's like purring. He's like,
I think they lose this weekend against the Saints, and then that's why I think the Saints beat them.
So you are jumping
this
on,
week,
on
and then
board.
The Falcons beat them at home. Yeah.
You're jumping on board with the
I'm not on board. Just this week. They're hot right now. Drew Brees is playing great.
I'm with Bill on this one. I think they're turning the ship a little bit.
All right, we'll find out.
I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs, but I think you're going to see them, you know, starting with this past week against the Eagles, they're going to play some better football.
All right, we got to wrap up these power rankings because we have a special guest joining us in the next segment. So 1 and 2, San Francisco 49ers are the number 2 team. Houston Texans are the number 1 team. Both of these teams, lights out defense. Nothing special on offense, but they get the job done. They don't turn the ball over, and that's why they're winning a lot of games right now.
Yeah, you know, these two teams have been up there the whole season long. You can make 1-1 and 1-2, doesn't really matter. We'll see what happens. I mean, the Niners play the Rams this week, so you figure they're going to win and win handily. The big one is Texans and Bears. Number 1 versus number 4 in our power rankings, Bill. Thank goodness for that game because there's nothing much else to sink your teeth into.
All right, coming up, Kerry Byrne from Cold Hard Football Facts will join us. We'll dive a bit deeper into some of the games from Week 10. Surely he'll have some interesting facts, as always. That's Kerry Byrne joining us in the next segment right here on Football Nation. You're listening to Patriots.com Radio.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pat's tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
You're as cold as ice. You don't look at stats or chicken wings the way Kerry Byrne does. It's time for the Cold Hard Football Facts right here on Football Nation.
That's right, Kerry Byrne joining us here on Football Nation. You can listen to his show every Wednesday right here on Patriots.com Radio from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, you can catch his show on demand via iTunes or the Patriots mobile app. I believe it's available for both iOS and Android devices. Kerry, thanks for joining us. Big week ahead in Week 10. However, only one game features two teams with winning records. What the hell is going on out there?
Gentlemen, what's going on? You know, it's a bit of the mid-season doldrums. You know, it's always a big week in the NFL, but this week, Maybe not quite as big as some of them, guys. I mean, you know, there's a lot of, I think one of the downfalls of what everyone likes to call parity is that every now and then you have a slate of, you know, not a lot of great teams playing. And that's the case this week. Really, only the Texans-Bears game Sunday night is really the marquee matchup, and I think the one all football fans are looking forward to, other than their own game, of course.
Now, both of those teams known for their defenses, Kerry, what do each of them do so well?
Well, specifically, you know, obviously Chicago guys, you know, creating all those turnovers, what, eight defensive scores or eight non-offensive scores this year? We looked it up, 22 NFL teams don't have that many rushing touchdowns on offense. You know, the Jacksonville Jaguars have 11 offensive touchdowns total. The Bears have eight non-offensive touchdowns all year. By the way, the mighty 1985 Chicago Bears, right? The name alone reeks of great defensive domination. Everyone hears 1985 Bears and thinks one of the greatest defenses of all time. They produce five scores all year. This Chicago team already well ahead of that pace, largely because of, you know, Charles Tillman just, you know, making crazy plays, forcing four fumbles alone against the Titans. So that's really obviously what the Bears do well. And pass defense, clearly the best pass defense in football, guys. Number one in defensive quarterback rating, our measure of all aspects of quarterback play, and number one in defensive passer rating. And the Bears have a 62.9 defensive passer rating. What that means, guys, is that the average quarterback this year against them has produced a 62.9 passer rating. Okay. That's lower than the worst quarterback in football this year. John Skelton, I believe, is dead last among starting quarterbacks with a 65 passer rating. The Bears make every quarterback look worse than John Skelton. And in the case of Houston, I mean, they get after the quarterback, man. They get after the quarterback, and that to me is really where this game's going to turn. The Bears dead last protecting the passer, and J.J. Watt and those guys just really rush the passer well. They're great on third down. They're number one on our defensive hog index, and I think the one big mismatch of this game is the Houston defensive front against the Chicago very weak offensive line.
You know, Kerry, we've been talking about, we kind of haven't really bought into the Atlanta Falcons yet, despite them being 8-0. Same kind of thing with the Bears. They really haven't had too many impressive wins this year. But this week and next, they get Houston and the 49ers. We're going to learn an awful lot about the Bears here in the next 9 or 10 days.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I did, as you know, with Cold Hard Football Facts, we, you know, one of our great partners besides the Patriots, of course, they're is Sports Illustrated. I do a column each week, a Cold Hard Football Facts breakdown for Sports Illustrated. And the team I looked at this week were the Chicago Bears, and the most dominant team in football right now, guys. They lead the NFL in scoring differential, on pace to join the very short list of teams in NFL history to outscore their opponents by 240 points over the course of a season. The last two teams to do that were the 1999 Greatest Show on Turf Rams and the 2007 Patriots. So we're talking on pace to really be elite. But the problem is they're doing it kind of anomalously. I hope I'm pronouncing that way. They're an anomaly. They're doing things the way they shouldn't be done with all those turnovers. But in the reality, guys, at the end of the day, they're not passing the ball well enough to truly compete for a Super Bowl at the end of the day. So I think, Todd, your doubts are well-founded. This team is not constructed the way teams need to be constructed in modern football to truly compete at the end. But you know what? It's going to be fun to watch to see if they can prove us wrong.
Yeah, speaking of the Bears defense, one of their biggest playmakers on defense is Charles Tillman.
Yep.
And he may miss this weekend's game because his wife is pregnant and is expected to give birth any day now. Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez had his first, I believe it's his first child, earlier in the week on Tuesday, missed practice because of it. Now, what do you guys make of players saying that they're willing to miss the game if their wife goes into labor?
Well, listen, you know, that's actually been a big topic, you know, here in New England with, you know, Tom Brady's wife pregnant and everything. And, you know, at the end of the day, family comes first, right? Even Vince Lombardi, the greatest coach in history, said God, family, and the Green Bay Packers. Okay, so.
In that order.
What's that, I'm sorry?
In that order.
In that order. God, family, and the Green Bay Packers. So, and he was obviously a very religious man, went to Mass every day, Vince Lombardi did. So, you know, those were his priorities for his team, but I don't think you could fault anyone, you know, religious or otherwise, right, for putting their family first. And, you know, I think, you know, looking at it personally, if it came down to the Super Bowl and your wife giving birth? I don't know. That might be a tough decision.
That's terrible planning. Come on.
Terrible planning. You know, you should have put off, you know, the conception a couple of months. I don't know. But, you know, and seriously, though, I mean, can you really fault somebody for choosing their family and the birth of their child over, you know, and I don't have any children, guys, but I know you do, Todd. I mean, at the end of the day, you can't criticize someone for that.
No,
I think you have to understand that their priorities are their priorities, and I don't think that's one to be criticized.
Nope, I agree 100%. Bill's awfully quiet, though.
See, no.
Bill doesn't have kids either.
Well, none that I know about, Kerry. But here's the problem, guys. The NFL season, if you make it to the postseason, it ends in January, February, all right? You go home, spend some time with your family, your wife, your girlfriend, whoever. Get a little, you know, intimate and you're relaxing. Your body's starting to feel a lot better. All of a sudden, you find out your girl, your woman, your wife, girlfriend, whatever, is pregnant. And then fast forward 9 months, and then all of a sudden, this is what happens. We're in this situation. We're in the middle of the season. It's late October. It's early November. And 9 months after the teams that made the playoffs are, you know, all of a sudden these players start popping up and their girlfriends are pregnant with kids and they're going to have to miss a game for it. I think it's ridiculous.
You know, well, good thing Antonio Cromartie's not going to make the playoffs this year, you know?
Nice.
You know, listen, it's something to talk about, right? But, and listen, if it was me, I don't know what I'd do. I mean, back in the day, right, you weren't there for the birth of your child if you were a man. You saw the baby after it was born. It was left to the woman to handle it, and that's the way it was done for a long time. I'm not saying it's the right way. I'm saying that's the way it was done. And if a man wanted to choose not to be there, I think that's his decision. The same thing being, I understand 100%. If he wants to be there for the birth of his child, you know, even if it's a Super Bowl, right? And you know, you might make a couple Super Bowls. You're only going to have a couple kids in your life, and that's more important to anybody. And I just think it's something to talk about. And I don't think. You know, I don't think anyone should be in a position to criticize a guy for wanting to be there to see his kid born. As simple as that.
I agree, Bill. Bill, I'm not sure about Bill.
No,
Bill's awfully quiet.
I'm sorry, guys. I don't agree.
Personally, though, Todd, if you know, again, I'm married. I don't have children. But if we were to have children, I don't think I'd want to be there to see the whole thing. I know it's supposed to be a great moment, but I don't know. I think personally, I'd rather see the baby. You know,
there are 16
later.
Games in the NFL.
Yep.
Mostly on Sunday or Monday. Either force the, what is it called?
Induce.
Bill, you're going to get hate mail for this. You're like a caveman.
Yeah.
I don't care. No. Listen, what is it called, Todd?
Inducing.
What's that word with the
hate
I?
Hate mail to bnwright@footballnation.com.
Yeah, seriously.
Todd, what's that word? Induce.
I've been yelling in your ear.
Sorry, Kevin. Force the be induced on Saturday or on Friday or on Monday after the game, not on Sunday. There's only 16 games a year. You're getting paid ridiculously a large amount of game checks.
Oh my God, Bill!
We got a new show, Fatherhood Chips with Bill.
You can't miss the game. Can't miss it.
Heck, Bill would skip the birth of his kid to watch the game on TV.
I wouldn't go that
far. What else we got, gentlemen?
Yeah, let's change topics. How about we talk about the Patriots' Bills?
Yep.
How about that?
Yeah. Aaron Hernandez had a kid this week. He missed practice. Well, how do you think that's going to affect the team?
Oh, Bill, let it go, my friend.
I don't know, guys. You know, I think you're letting these players get off way too easy.
But, Bill, listen, if you run a company, okay?
Yeah.
And your employee is going to miss work if he's having a child. That's just the price of doing business.
It's not missing work, Kerry. It's missing one of 16 days that are the most important days to the company.
You're going to have two or three kids in your life, most likely, right? The average?
Don't have them on Sunday.
Fair enough. All right, well, Bill's Patriots, okay? The interesting thing is that, you know, obviously the Patriots have utterly dominated the series. Bill Belichick, guys, 22-3. Against the Buffalo Bills, okay?
That's
including
absurd.
16-8-1 against the spread, by the way. You can check out all that stuff at Cold Hard Insider, where we have Spreadopedia, our great point spread database. The Patriots own this series, and at home, Foxborough, 11-1 straight up. Not so great against the spread, 7-5 against the spread versus the Bills at home, but still, obviously, the Patriots are a superior team. I don't see this being a problem. And don't forget the Patriots dropped 45 points on the Bills in the second half alone the last time they played. So, you know, this is if the Patriots had a bitch boy, it's the Buffalo Bills.
what is the Bills' only hope? Is it how bad the Patriots' secondary is?
The only hope is for all the Patriots' wives to give birth on Sunday, Bill. And none of them to show up. And raise the ire of Bill Enright. That's all they got going for him.
Please, please don't name the baby Jermichael either. That would really go through the roof. Kerry,
so let me throw some code on football facts.
Okay,
okay? Just
all right,
run
let's
down.
Hear.
You know, I'm looking at my quality stats, okay? We size up every opponent in every game in 20 different quality stats at Cold Hard Insider, okay? The Patriots better in 16 of those 20 stats. I mean, obviously, we know they're one of the best teams in football. You know, the Bills just don't compete, and they don't compete against good teams, most importantly. 0-3 against quality opponents this year, and they've been beat up pretty badly in those three games. I'm looking at the numbers right now. They've been outscored, guys, okay? 39-13 in their three games against teams with winning records.
Wow.
39 to—they've been tripled up. They've been tripled up by quality opponents. This is a bad team coming in to play a good team. It's simple. It's simple as that. And you know, I'm not trying to be—you know—I'm obviously here in Boston. I'm not trying to be a homer type. We don't do homerism at the Cold Hard Football Facts. We look at the numbers, and the numbers in this case are so ugly. I should have asked it to the prom.
Kerry, you know, we had a caller actually email us, and he was asking about, can the Patriots turn around their secondary, which was pretty woeful as an understatement in the first half of the year. And we started taking a look at the schedule in the second half, and there really aren't a lot of prolific passers they're going to have to deal with in the second half of the slate here. So just by competition alone, you would think that they would be able to raise their level of play in the secondary. I don't know if you've looked at the schedule, but, I mean, my goodness. Now, Alex Smith and Matt Schaub, decent quarterbacks, but they're not, you know, prolific passers. Other than that, they get Tannehill twice. They get Blaine Gabbert, Mark Sanchez. They do have to deal with Andrew Luck. But, you know, the Patriots secondary should look improved, at least from the stat lines.
What I see, Todd, I see Matt Schaub having a big day against his team. I see Alex Smith having a big day against his team, totally underrated in his efficiency. Mark Sanchez habitually has his best games of his career against the Patriots, statistically. Ryan Fitzpatrick has had some good games against the Patriots, and he didn't look too bad, guys. So the Bills hung 28 points on the Patriots in week four. So I'm not – the Patriots are a better team, but I can see Ryan Fitzpatrick having 300 yards and three touchdowns in that game Sunday. I can see Andrew Luck having a good day. I can see Mark Sanchez always, like I said, has his best days against the Patriots. Ryan Tannehill has had a couple good games. Everyone was excited about Andrew Luck's 433-yard game, right?
Right.
On Sunday. Ryan Tannehill had a 431-yard game just a couple weeks ago, guys, and did it on fewer attempts. He had a much higher average per attempt. The best game in terms of getting the ball downfield all season by a rookie quarterback was by Ryan Tannehill. So I do not put faith in that schedule at all. I think the Patriots can't stop anybody. At the end of the day, they're going to win because they have Tom Brady, and if they're going to get to the Super Bowl, it's going to be because they kind of get a couple breaks go their way against good quarterbacks in the postseason.
Is this Patriots-Bills matchup your lock of the week, or you're looking at the 49ers and the Rams for that?
No. How about Chiefs and Steelers on Monday Night Football? Talk about a bad week, guys. Really kind of a weak schedule. When the worst team in football, when the marquee game of the week is the worst team in football against the Steelers, who are really coming around at that great win against the Giants on Sunday. That to me is really, if I have a lock of the week. But I tell you, man, we picked the 49ers to shut out the Rams this week at Cold Hard Insider. The first shutout we predicted all week. We picked a couple weeks ago. We said I forget who San Francisco played. We said they'd be lucky to. We said they'd be lucky to score a touchdown. I think it was a game against the Cardinals just 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Cardinals scored 3 points. I think the Rams, same thing. They'll be lucky to score a touchdown. They may even get shut out. So that, like I said, there's a lot of bad games this week. So, but my lock of the week is definitely the very bad Chiefs going into the very good and rolling Steelers.
Yeah, that one seems pretty obvious there too. But I'm surprised that you're suggesting that the 49ers will shut down or shut out the Rams, but that's not your biggest
Well, you know, because I think that the Rams have a pretty good defense, and that I have more confidence in the Pittsburgh offense scoring points against the Kansas City defense than I do
right.
The San Francisco offense putting up big points against the Rams. I think the The average game in the NFC West this year, guys, has been like 17-6, something like that.
Right, so this game could be 13-0.
What's that?
This game with the 49ers and Rams could be 13-0, but the Steelers could be like 28-10.
Exactly. And I think the likelihood of I'm not trying to parse which one is more likely to win. I'm just saying I got San Francisco winning by 17, and I got the Chiefs and the Steelers beating the Chiefs by 21. Let me throw out some Rams 49ers stats. Why we think it's going to be a shutout? Okay.
All right.
St. Louis number 22 in real quarterback rating, a measure of all aspects of quarterback play. San Francisco number 5 defensively in that indicator. St. Louis number 2 in offensive passer rating. San Francisco number 2 in defensive passer rating. St. Louis number 22 in average per pass attempt. San Francisco number 1 defensively. This is really a statistical mismatch. It's going to be a long, long night for Sam Bradford trying to get the ball downfield.
All right, Terry Byrne from Cold Hard Football Facts, our weekly guest right here on Patriots.com. You can also listen to his own show. He's on for 2 hours every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, you can catch his show on demand as well. Kerry, as always, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a lot of fun in Week 10.
All right, guys, and don't forget to listen to Fatherhood with Bill Enright every
Week 10. Oh, jeez, Father of the Year.
All right, guys, keep up the great work, man. Great show. Talk to you
Thanks.
Soon.
Take care. Interesting stuff, as always, from Kerry, huh, Todd?
Interesting stuff, as always, from you.
Aw, you know, I got to make it interesting. I got to be a little controversial once in a while, otherwise we're having no fun.
You achieved your goal, buddy.
Thank you.
You achieved your goal. All right, what do we got? One more segment left in this puppy or what?
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break, regroup from my shenanigans, and then we'll come back with some live fantasy football advice. Give us a call, 508-298-0398, and we'll hit up some emails, webradio@patriots.com, and, of course, you can hit us up on Twitter, @FFChamps. That's all coming up next right here on Patriots.com Radio.
Every football fan has a voice at FootballNation.com.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pats tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G0 19 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock now. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment, plus easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. This approval is solely for the purpose of evaluating compliance with Bridgestone's co-op policy. This approval does not in any way constitute, and Bridgestone expressly disclaims, any legal opinion or representation that the ad complies with any applicable laws, rules, or regulations.
Here's a dose of fantasy football from FFChamps.com.
All right, welcome back. Bill Enright, Todd DeVries, hanging out with you for just a few more minutes here on Patriots.com Radio. This is Football Nation, but we're going to give some fantasy advice to some of our emailers that have been chiming in on webradio at Patriots.com and also the Ace Ticket Hotline, where our friend Olivier down in West Virginia has been hanging on for quite a bit. What's going on, my man? Thanks for calling in.
West Virginia.
Virginia, Virginia.
I am not from West Virginia.
I said Olivier from Virginia.
You said West Virginia.
Yeah, I didn't say West Virginia. Come on, give me a break here.
Yeah, you absolutely did.
All right, I did.
I,
And by the way, question before I salute your infinite wisdom of fantasy for last weekend and the way my team has poorly performed. When is Kevin taking you to New York City? I'd love to be there when I see you being dressed as a beautiful drag queen in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, Bill, when is that happening?
We have to plan something. You know, I'm not going to do this. I'm not just going to show up in Times Square just randomly wearing drag because I'll look like, you know, 25% of the people that are walking around New York City anyway. We got to make this an event. We got to make it like a highly publicized situation. I want camera there. I want paparazzi. Maybe the Patriots cheerleaders can join me, and I'll fill right in with them doing some pom-pom. We're going to make a big pomp and circumstance out of this event. We're not going to just going to like, I'm not going to just walk around in the streets of New York City and, you know, cross-dressing. We got to make it fun.
I'll fly from Virginia to attend that ceremony.
Dude, if when I do things, I do it right.
Some people go to Canton. Others go to Times Square, and I like it better.
Go big or go home.
Yeah. All right, guys. Before we go, what is the capital of Brazil?
No Googling, Bill.
The capital of Brazil?
Yes.
Rio de Janeiro.
Used to be. It's Brasilia, I think.
Whoa, what do you mean used to be? They can't change capitals.
Yeah, they did. They built this huge city called Brasilia, and they transferred all the embassies from Rio to that really ugly city in the middle of nowhere in Brazil. Anyway,
you know, this is why I don't pay attention to geography, because one minute they can have one capital over here, and then they can just change it the next day. It's a total waste of time to pay attention to it.
He's right, Bill. It's Brasilia.
Good argument.
Thank you.
Yes. So, quick question for you. I am to the point where I have dropped Peyton Manning from my lineup because I'm looking for interesting matchups, and I was thinking that Alex Smith is my quarterback against St. Louis, and Philip Rivers against Tampa Bay. What do you guys think?
Let me just give some background information on your team. You're in one of those salary cap leagues where you have a different lineup every week, correct?
That is correct. I can actually keep what I have, but I'm always trying to find a diamond in the rough.
Right.
To offset the the buy that certain teams have, so I can keep on. Account for more points, obviously.
Right. Now, why don't you like Peyton Manning this week? Because he's ranked number three on our rankings at FFJams.com.
Yeah, I can get him back, obviously. The reason why I did that, I split the quarterbacks, is because I picked up Doug Martin and Ray Rice in the running back, and these guys are super expensive, and I'm not really sure if – and also picked up Pittsburgh's defense, which I think should destroy the Kansas City Chiefs. So that's why I actually did that. But if you think I should drop Doug Martin and get someone else, I can pick up, obviously, our friend Peyton.
No, you know, I think Rice and Martin, Ray Rice actually my number one running back this week, Doug Martin number six.
Okay.
Both of those running backs, I like them on your squad. Now, you mentioned Alex Smith and you mentioned Josh Freeman. I'm going to give...
No, Philip Rivers.
Rivers.
Oh, Philip Rivers.
Philip Rivers from West Virginia. That's the one I mentioned.
Philip Rivers from West Virginia, nice. Philip Gates, what did I call him the other day?
Yes, Philip Gates.
Antonio Rivers?
Yes.
Well, Rivers is number 11 on my rankings. Alex Smith, nowhere close. He's outside the top 20. So I would go with Rivers if it's between those two.
So I can drop Alex Smith, but would you go with Fitzpatrick? Do you think he'll light up the all secondary? Or because I'm a Patriots fan, obviously. But
I would go with Rivers. Why not Rivers?
But instead of Alex Smith, I meant.
Yeah, instead of Alex Smith, go with Rivers.
No, I have to have both. I have to have two quarterbacks.
Go with Fitzpatrick then. He's he's number 12 on the rankings. Alex Smith still outside the top 20.
What about Cutler or Matt Schaub or Manning?
No.
Cutler against
Flacco?
Houston, no way.
No.
Flacco,
I would go with Flacco over Rivers or Fitzpatrick, both of them, yeah. Good matchup
against
Flacco
Oakland. Flacco is better then?
Yes, Flacco better this week against Oakland.
Oh, wow. Okay. Excellent. So in terms of wide receivers, I'm obviously very limited because, you know, I picked up Chris Givens, but I think I should probably drop him due to the fact that he's probably, you know, not going to do anything against a really tough defense, right?
Right.
Okay. So I guess I'm answering my own questions. Who should I get that's, you know, the diamond in the rough? Brandon Stokely, you think?
No. How about Devon Bess? How about Devon Bess, Miami Dolphins?
Whomever plays for the Miami Dolphins? Devon Bess.
Devon Bess.
Wow.
Is it a PPR league?
Oh, yeah, I can pick him up. I just did. Yeah, I just did. I don't know if it's a PPR and an OPR and NNR. I'm not really sure.
Oh, okay. All right.
But it's,
well, listen.
It's, yeah.
Rule number one on the Ten Commandments for winning fantasy football that you can find at FFChamps.com says know your scoring system.
Yes. Yeah. So they pick up 6 points per touchdown.
Okay.
They pick up a bunch of points with yardage.
Okay. But nothing when they catch the ball.
No, I don't believe so.
All right. Then Devon Bess is not good then. How about Todd's boy, T.Y. Hilton? You have to pick him up right now because he's playing in a couple hours on Thursday night.
What's his name? T.Y. who?
T.Y. Hilton.
Huh. Okay. I have to take a look at that. Okay. And you don't believe in Joe Morgan or Mario Manningham, none of these guys? Golden Tate either?
Golden Tate, no. Playing against the Jets, no.
Okay. What about Titus Young? Is he a good guy to have, or should I?
Yeah, I like Titus Young. I like Titus Young. Yeah.
All right. I guess I'll keep Antonio Gates as well as a tight end. Do you think it's worth doing, or should I go and pick up the Brandon Myers that you had mentioned the other day?
Oh. No, I like Gates this week.
Yeah.
Myers against the Ravens. Gotta go Gates.
Gates
against Tampa Bay. That could be a high scoring game.
You think so?
Right. Yeah.
I hope so. Huh. What do you think about Scott Chandler, good guy, or Dustin Keller this week?
Four receptions against the Patriots back in week four. He had two touchdowns, 70 yards, but I'm still going with Gates, dude.
Okay, and the last question before I let you go. Is a St. Louis kicker a good bet this week against San Francisco?
Legatron. No.
Greg Legatron, yeah.
No.
No.
Or is it better, Garrett Hartley?
Yeah, go with Hartley.
Yeah, you think so? Do you think New Orleans? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like you guys have improved my lineup by quite a bit.
Of course.
Always, you know, you always do a fantastic work to improve my own thinking, and hopefully this week it works.
Olivia, you have kids?
No, I don't.
Oh, all right. Then I can't ask you the question.
I have four-legged kids, though. You can ask the question. Go ahead.
I wanted to know if you would miss a game to go watch the birth of your child.
If I am, assuming that I'm a highly paid athlete,
right,
and that I make over $20 million a year, I have banked over $100 million in my career, and therefore I'm the right arm of a very important CEO of a corporation.
Yeah,
I think that I owe my shareholder a tremendous amount of gratitude and so forth. And yes, I would just miss the birth of my kid to go.
Damn play. Right. That's why I like you, Olivier. You're on my side.
Amen.
All right, my man. Thanks for joining us as always. Best of luck in week 10, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
You should receive your waffle the week of Thanksgiving. So you know.
Ooh, I am excited. I'm marking it on my calendar.
Little turkey waffle.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks man. Appreciate it. Love that guy. I knew he was a true Bill supporter as soon as he called in a couple weeks ago, and now my thoughts have been reassured now that he's on the same side as I am with this whole pregnancy thing, giving the birth on game day.
And ironically, none of you have kids. Imagine that. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that week 10 game that you would, that you would be attending would really matter 10 years down the line.
You know,
very memorable.
Well, first of all, let's keep in mind, Kerry said Super Bowl. He would miss the Super Bowl.
Well, no, we're talking about Tillman on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, well, even then, your team's 7-1. You want to make the Super Bowl, don't you? You're going for the defensive MVP this year.
They're going to lose anyway.
Yeah, I think so.
See, what else we got?
At least Hernandez was smart. He did it on a Tuesday.
Yeah, well, we'll see with Tillman.
He messed
up
his birthday
happens.
A little bit, but, you know, I'm sure that was a good birthday present. Now he's a dad.
Yeah, we have a third topic that wrinkles Bill, Kevin.
Mr.
Michael
game,
Finley, lack of 4 o'clock games, and basically fatherhood in general, basically.
Yeah.
Hot button topics with Enright.
That's right.
All right, what are your closing thoughts here, Bill? What do we got?
Closing thoughts, a couple emails I want to get to. Remember we mentioned that Higgins traded away Doug Martin? This was his trade, Todd. Peyton Manning, Doug Martin, Fred Jackson, Julio Jones, Reggie Wayne. All studs. I don't know why he would give up those guys. He got Aaron Rodgers, Adrian Peterson, Darren Sproles, Stevie Johnson, Greg Jennings. I think he lost out big time. You trade away Peyton Manning, you get back Aaron Rodgers. To me, that's a wash. Darren Sproles now hurt. I'm sure he didn't know that at the time. Adrian Peterson for Doug Martin. Maybe that's pretty even, but here's where I think you lose out. Julio Jones and Reggie Wayne, head and shoulders above Stevie Johnson and Greg Jennings.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah. Higgins, you should have consulted with us on that one, man. What were
that's
you thinking?
That's a blockbuster.
Yeah, I don't know why he would do that trade without consulting with us. The guy asks questions all the time for his lineup. But we would have told him not to do that deal.
I don't know.
I feel bad
for
him.
He paid the price. He could have had about 60 points from Doug Martin alone last week.
Right. All right, a couple more questions before we wrap things up. Our friend from FFChamps.com, NJ Bears is his name. He's stuck on a PPR. He's stuck on his flex, starting Pierre Thomas as his running back two. Brian Hartline is his wide receiver two. He needs one flex out of these guys, Todd. Vic Ballard, Emmanuel Sanders, Denarius Moore.
Ooh, PPR?
Yes.
Ooh.
Kind of feel Emmanuel Sanders?
I'm not really feeling any of those guys over one or the other. I mean, they're all kind of low-level flex options right now.
Right.
Ballard, I mean, he better decide right now if he's doing Ballard. They play in 2 hours.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Ballard.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ballard, too. Donald Brown pretty banged up. We don't know if he's active yet, but if he's not, I think Ballard's a clear-cut choice. All right, one more question to get to. Our producer, Kevin, needs help with his team. He's got Hakeem Nicks. He doesn't trust him on the bum knee. He can play Hakeem Nicks, T.Y. Hilton, Donnie Avery, Ryan Broyles, or Dominic Hickson. Todd, we're trying to help Kevin win his matchup this week. He helps us produce Radio Gold every week, so let's get him the win. Who does he play? Does he play Hakeem Nicks, or does he play Hilton, Avery, Broyles, or Hickson?
Man.
I know, it's a pickle.
That's a pickle? That's an understatement. I'm not sold on Hicks until or Nicks until he shows us something, Bill.
Me neither.
You know, he's done nothing.
I think he's overrated. Do I start your boy T.Y. Hilton tonight?
Hilton's boom or bust.
Donnie Avery's playing.
Banged up though.
Ryan Broyles to me is out.
I could go Hickson to me is just because if Nicks plays,
Hickson won't do anything if Nicks plays.
Here's the deal. What I mean. T.Y. Hilton has had two good weeks the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like T.Y. Hilton for the future for dynasty leagues, but this year, you know, he's boom or bust. He's had two booms and basically five bust weeks, so he hasn't really done much.
So basically, I just ride it out, and if Nicks is active, I play him, I guess, and if he's not, I play Hickson.
I believe that is the correct way to go.
All right.
Last week, Nicks one catch for 10 yards.
No, I know. Terrible. He hasn't done anything the past, like, month. Since he's
all right,
come
I want to get to another emailer here. Eric from San Diego needs to pick two guys out of these four. Ryan Matthews, C.J. Spiller, Fred Jackson, Mikel LeShour. Matthews, Spiller, Jackson, Mikel LeShour. I think you bench the two Buffalo Bills. We know the Patriots are dominant when it comes to stopping the run. Go with Matthews and LeShour. LeShour, three touchdowns last week. Can't beat it.
I agree.
All right.
Yeah. Yep. Matthews is definitely in. And LeShour, he's hot right now. I don't really trust the Lions running backs much moving forward, but not a terrible matchup. I guess I go LeShour.
All right. Kevin wants to know. Kevin's being a hog with these questions. Heath Miller or Aaron Hernandez? Quick one.
Miller or Hernandez?
Yeah.
Hernandez.
Pick three. Ray Rice, Willis McGahee, Michael Turner, Rashad Jennings. I think you leave Jennings on the bench.
Yeah, absolutely.
Turner has a great matchup. Willis McGahee has a great matchup. Ray Rice is my number one running back.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. All right. See, yep. You don't need our help, Kevin. You do it on your own.
I know. I just this is big for me because I just got back in the playoff hunt, so I'm like the last playoff spot. So
all right,
last 2 weeks I've done well. So
all right, we got to wrap up the show. Closing thoughts before we leave, Kevin. What do you got?
I don't know. I hope my fantasy teams win. That's all I got.
How was your birthday?
I was good actually, and happy birthday to Todd because we won't be on the air tomorrow.
Todd, when is your birthday?
Tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah. Like,
good job, Bill.
I don't understand. I'm looking on Facebook and it doesn't show that.
You just have to know.
You hit it?
Yeah. I don't want 500 people wish me happy birthday through Facebook. It's so annoying.
We have a very important meeting of the minds with Football Nation. You're doing that on your birthday, huh?
Apparently.
God bless you. That's why you're the employee of the year.
Hours.
That's why you're the employee of the year. But it also helps when your fellow employees are guys like me that just screw up all the time.
And that don't know his birthday. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Some
the Facebook
you are.
Birthday thing, that's for people that want to make themselves feel good, you know?
No, it's for people that when they sign up for Facebook, they put their birthday in there.
Like a normal
person. And then there's a button that says hide the birthday.
I don't get it. I'm with Bill on this one.
I think he got some self-loathing thing going on there.
I do hate myself.
He doesn't want people to know how old he is. That's what it is.
Happy birthday to Todd. Big 40 this week.
Very Bill just blurts birthday. It out.
Very important birthday.
Some yeah, friend you are, Bill. You don't even know his birthday, wild. Then you just blurt the number out.
Who cares? He's a guy. Guys don't care about that stuff.
All right.
Yeah,
listen,
if I was
hosting a show with a guy that cared about how old he was, I might have to find a new co-host. Wow.
Yeah.
But Bill, I know Todd doesn't care. That's
Bill's
why I said it. I have no
today.
Problem saying it.
You get into the fatherhood stuff, and Bill, he gets on a little bit of a roll here, Kevin.
Get a bee in his bonnet right here.
What is that, a bee in
a
bonnet?
He's a bee in his bonnet.
I love that. That's a good analogy. That's like a 1954 analogy.
Yeah, who wears a bonnet?
I don't know. Girls on Easter. Ever heard that song? In my Easter bonnet.
No, please don't do that again.
No? All right.
Roll the music, right. Kevin, please.
Yes, we're going to wrap it up. Todd, any closing thoughts to you before your birthday?
No. I'm really not looking forward to these games. I'll have to be honest. These are terrible games. I looked at next week, Bill. It gets a little bit better.
Thank God. Great news from Todd. Better in Week 11. Patriots-Bills coming up in Week 10. We all think it's going to be a blowout. Have fun in Week 10. Thanks for listening to Football Nation. We'll be back next Tuesday, next Wednesday, next Thursday. You can hear it all here on Patriots.com Radio.
Every football fan has a voice at footballnation.com.